I am joined by Brent Beard, co-host of the SEC and Helping podcast, also a college football analyst for First Coast News. Brent, appreciate the time as always. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing okay, probably better than Notre Dame and Texas A&M fans and the Iowa offense, but hanging in there, yes.
Have you seen an offense as bad as Iowa's played? I mean, good grief. I have no idea what to say to
you. Can you imagine what a SEC fan base would do in a situation like that? They have 316 total yards in two games. The and listen, and this is amazing too. In the last 9.5 games, their starting quarterback Spencer Petras has one touchdown and 9 interceptions. The Iowa has two games, 16 punts and 14 points. The only team in the nation with more punts than points. Now think about that a minute, Drew. What in the world would a SEC fan base have done with numbers like that offensively?
Oh my goodness! Somebody's got to get fired. I think at that point, somebody had this joke that the product that they're putting on the field for those kids in the hospital who are watching is just disgusting, and it needs to be better than that. And I can't imagine being an Iowa fan. I mean, there was the one guy who. This is in the game against South Dakota State. They showed Iowa getting 2 points on a safety, and the guy looked about as irritated as possible, and Iowa was winning the game. So, I mean, that goes to show you how I don't understand how it's so bad, and I know that I think Kirk Ferentz's son is the offensive coordinator. He's the guy who's calling plays, but I think there's got to be some sort of a change because, I mean, you played an Iowa State team that lost a whole lot, and you played a South Dakota State team that is good, but they're a whole level below you, that when they get into Big Ten play, I can't help but think that they're not going to be very good at all this year.
Well, I mean, they are, I believe they're 131 teams in the nation, and I think they're 131 in most categories, frankly. So it's just hard to imagine, and I give Ferentz a lot of credit for being there as long as he has, and he's got certainly some equity with this. And without belaboring the point, there's no excuse in this. It reminds me a little bit of when Will Muschamp was coaching in the SEC, and how he did that twice is still beyond me, but. Will's a tremendous D coordinator, but as far as a head coach and coming up with any kind of offense, it just didn't work.
Yeah, no, it didn't. And I want to jump to that Texas A&M game that you mentioned. So they're upset by Appalachian State, and I can't imagine being a Texas A&M fan. They plummet in the rankings, which is no surprise at all whatsoever. This is something, I mean, everybody had that Alabama game circled on their calendar, but when you look at their non-conference schedule, Sam Houston State won an FCS championship recently, and they were hanging around until the second half of that game. App State are no joke, and then they play Miami next week, and as crazy as it seems, Miami's actually going to be the higher-ranked team, Brent. What do you think this means for Jimbo Fisher? I don't think he's going to get fired necessarily, but when you have great recruiting classes, that only goes so far because you also have to coach them up and make sure that they're ready to go.
Oh yeah, it's inexcusable. They ran 38 plays against App State, and App State ran 82.
Yeah, crazy.
So, I mean, they're last in SEC in scoring, 13th in total offense, 12th in rushing offense. He probably needs to make a quarterback change too. With Haynes King, because frankly, that's just not working at all. But they've got Drew. They've got way too much talent on that team to have the production they do Now, think about this. They also, you've got Miami, which will have the better quarterback in Tyler Van Dyke. And then the next two games, they have the Arkansas game, who right now is playing as well as anybody is mm-hmm. in the league. And then they go to Bama. So, yeah. Listen, everybody thought they may end up with an 8-4 this year. Well, unfortunately, Drew, if they don't get better, they may end up with a 4-8.
In all honesty, I mean, they're playing Miami, who is Miami's hung. I think they hung 70 on Bethune-Cookman, which is no surprise. But then they got by Southern Miss after struggling a little bit. They scored 30. I mean, this offense can really move the ball up and down the field, and they better come ready. Otherwise, they could be 1-2 going into those two games against Arkansas and Alabama. I mean, it is not a forgiving schedule, and maybe this is. I don't want to credit A&M at all for this, but they're playing more quality opponents in App State and Miami than I think most SEC schools are. But maybe we understand now why some teams hesitate to schedule some of those better teams, because they know that if they drop the ball early and then they jump into SEC play, if they are having a 1-2 season or even 2-1, I don't know if you can contend for an SEC championship already with one loss in non-conference.
Well, I mean, you could be out of it in September.
Yeah.
It is the problem to go along with that. So, but look, with those recruiting classes and all the resources and so forth, would it be safe to say no one's going to feel sorry for them?
No, absolutely. Especially after what Jimbo said and the way that he acted with Nick Saban and all that. And nobody feels sorry for him at this point, I don't think, unless you're with Texas A&M, and maybe those people don't even feel too sorry for him. I do want to jump to Alabama, too. So, coming away from that game, Texas are a lot better than what we thought, I think, initially. I think that's more of the takeaway from this. Alabama did not play too well at all. So many penalties. Bryce Young found a way to come through. What do you think the biggest issue is for that Alabama team? Is it the penalties, or is there maybe a position issue?
Well, I think it's both. They, for whatever reason, they were not ready to play. In that game, they were flat, which I don't understand. Now, the heat was ungodly. I understand that.
Yeah.
Too. But they've got some problems with the offensive line. They may need to make a change on the interior of the line. They right now have not had a wide receiver step up. Now, the Harrell kid from Louisville and JoJo Earl are supposed to be back by the Arkansas game, so that will help them. Terran Arnold got in, played well for Kyrie Jackson, which was impressive. Jalen Moody was just unbelievable, number 42 at linebacker for Alabama. Now, there are some things that I'll never understand. One of them being, you've got, and Bama's had this trouble lately. They've got 4th-and-1, and they go into a shotgun with Roydale Williams 4 yards back, and it really doesn't have a chance of working. Now, it was an awful play call with the wrong personnel in it. But see, that's, I mean, I don't know if you remember that play, Drew, but if Williams doesn't lose, trip over his own guy and is able to, if he moves right, maybe 2 steps, he may still be running. So I think the good thing for them is there's so many things that went wrong, but they are correctable. But they've only got 2 weeks to get this done, because they've got Louisiana Monroe, and then they've got Vanderbilt before they've got a real gauntlet, frankly, of Arkansas, A&M, Tennessee, and Mississippi State.
Yeah, and do you think that, obviously, I mean, this game being in Austin, I think, is a good college football experience, period, because I love the on-campus games, and How much of a game like this, though, early on in the season, not that we don't see Alabama do this too often, but and as I said, the SEC teams tend to schedule more favorable opponents non-conference. How much of this test do you think is going to benefit them down the line here before they get into those games against Arkansas, A&M, and Tennessee, being on the cusp of losing a game like that?
Oh, it's humongous. They will learn more from this close win than they would have ever learned from a 50-3 win. I mean, what you think about that, and because they know now what they've got to work on. Now, the problem is that the other teams know what some of the weaknesses are right now, They've got to run the ball better. I don't necessarily agree if they gave up on running the ball, but they were doing really well on first down, and then they weren't. They'll get more separation with the receivers as it goes along too. Those and the 15 penalties, they can deal with that, and they'll be better with that. But I'll say this too, Drew, like Kentucky and Florida, Kentucky should be given a lot of credit instead of what Florida didn't do. And it's obvious Sarkisian had this team working on this game. They probably started working on this game the day after Christmas last year.
Yeah.
Frankly, they were as well prepared for this game is anything that they could do. But I'll tell you this, if you're the Texas fan base, you've played the best game you probably have in a decade, and you still lose, what does that tell you?
And you also have to think, you have to come with that same energy the remainder of the season. Otherwise, you're going to end up being the same old Texas that we're used to. So it was right. Nearly a huge win for that program, but for people saying that Texas are back or even close to that after losing a game, I despise that fan base for saying those things, and they are not back. And I think that is a well warranted question. I do want to jump quickly again, speaking with Brent Beard, a co-host of the SEC and Helping podcast, as well as college football analyst with First Coast News, to Anthony Richardson real quick. Do you think we kind of jumped the gun with how good of a guy we know the talent's there, but it's going to take game reps for him to really be as good of a quarterback as what Billy Napier knows he can be and what fans expect?
There was a time in the fourth quarter, Drew, I'm convinced if you would have pulled Kentucky's defense off the field, he would have still had trouble completing passes. Mm. It just wasn't working during that time. The problem is he throws this fastball all the time, about 70 miles an hour on every pass. You've got to learn to do something different. So I heard someone make the point earlier today, and there's probably some sense to this. You know, they're up 7. They're up 17-6. Drew, if they had run every play after that and not thrown a pass, they probably still would have won the game.
Yeah, as he's so dynamic. I just think, and people, I think it's crazy that they were including him in mock drafts to go in the first round, and it's like, hang on, the guy hasn't even played. He's only started is his first game that he's ever started before. So let's pump the brakes a little bit. I think it'd be worth his time to get good reps this season. Next year, come back and really elevate his play to become that first round pick that a lot of people think he can be.
What they really needed in that game, they didn't have, was they needed Jack Miller to be ready to play. And I don't mean to replace Richardson, but what they needed was they needed to put Richardson on the sidelines for a play or two or a series and just let Miller run the offense and just see if they can have any kind of success. They just desperately needed that. And it just was not coming. Credit Kentucky's defense. Their linebackers are incredibly good. But with all that to say, See, when you've got these dual threat guys, fans and coaches and media fall in love with them. They'll start giving them credit probably even before they've proved it, as you've said. And it reminds me, it's not just of Richardson. It reminded me of Plumlee at Central Florida.
Yeah.
Plumlee's one of these guys. He can run for 175 yards every game. But like in that game last Friday night, against Louisville, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if he had to. So,
yeah.
The great thing is, they're going to have to bring Richardson alone to get him to make better decisions, get him to take some off the pass. And this South Florida game coming up for them, I think, is going to be important.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, Brent, appreciate the time as always. You have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk to you again here soon.
Good. Thank you, Drew.